Well, he reported to us at the end of the day that he thought we had a strong staff, an engaged staff, and he said that would be a major attractant to a candidate. He did hear during the community input session from Mayor Renner about a lot of the things that are going on in the community, and he thought that was a major plus to attract a candidate. And he also heard about some of the challenges and issues that the library is facing, and he said the best candidates are looking for challenges, and that we didn't have anything out there that would scare somebody away, but we certainly had some things that would be very appealing to the kind of person he thinks we ought to have.
Who does he think we ought to have?
Someone who's experienced and politically savvy, someone who is forward-thinking and recognizes that the future of the library is heavily involved with collaboration, with community involvement, and with technology. Someone who can motivate and lead a very talented, very experienced staff.
The last two directors, Georgia Boda and Matt Kubiak before her, viewed the role of a library in fairly traditional terms. What kind of role should the new director envision the library taking?
In the library profession, I think we're at a crossroads. The old concept of the box of books and of the being quiet in the library, those things are giving way to a pretty wide open view of what a library ought to be and what its role in the community is and what its role in the culture and developing the culture would be. And I think we'll see that in our candidates. I certainly know Mr. Keister heard that during all of his sessions.
Libraries are in nowadays as much community centers as media repositories and archives. They're performing arts spaces. They serve an education function. They serve coffee often. The Urbana Library has fresh baked goods, too. The Oak Park Public Library next month is hiring a social worker to be part of the interaction with patrons who spend a lot of time in the library, such as the elderly and the homeless and so on. The first library in the nation to hire a social worker was San Francisco 8 years ago. Now Frisco is providing free mobile showers once a week. What diverse populations should the Bloomington Library plan to serve going forward that it's not really focused on right now, even if it does serve some of them?
Well, we've been told in the business that future growth of libraries is keyed very much toward teens and preteens. As it happens, I think we do a very good job of serving that group. One of the things we're very proud of is that we have a virtually private teen area, and we dedicate a librarian to teen interests and teen needs, and we get a lot of very good play on that. Teens want their own spaces. If you have teens at home, you know that already. And we do a good job at that. But I think also we start every day with the notion that we really do want to be open and serve a very broad population. We're in the city in a redeveloping area. We have all kinds of people who can walk to the library. They're all welcome there. One of the challenges we face on an ongoing basis is being as accessible as we can to a pretty broad service area. And that includes thinking about how far to the northeast the city of Bloomington goes, how far out west it goes. And of course, we also serve the Golden Prairie Library District, which kind of surrounds us to both the southeast and the southwest. And so we not only depend on the central library, but we depend on a whole variety of outreach services to serve all of that broad population.
In the recent Farnsworth survey of the library facility, there were some more immediate physical plant needs identified: carpets, exterior ceiling, roof insulation, membrane, windows, doors, paint. Timelines on those things? Will those wait for the new director, or can those be part of the running start?
Well, we took a good look at that list, and I'm working with our support services manager on timelines and costs for those things. And I also parceled out that list a little bit, and I've met with city officials on some of the things that Farnsworth identified that are in their ballpark. It's kind of like that decision you face when you've got a car that's 8 or 10 years old and the mechanic says it's got some repairs that you ought to do, and then you look out on the lot and you see the new one out there, and you have to decide how much you want to invest in this one versus what could hold over for a new facility. So the timeline on any kind of new building is a pretty long one right now. So we are pricing these things out, and I expect most of them are relatively minor. Most of them are things that we need to do anyway. But when it gets to something like the last year of life in a major roof or something like that, those are going to be questions where we're going to have to give a little thought to where we are on the the future building process.
And is there even a hazy notion of when that future building process might come?
Well, if you came to the library today, you would have seen Stark Brothers very busily at work demolishing the bacon factory to the south of us. And so that gives you a hint of the beginning of clearing that property. And I know that the Bloomington Public Works Department is thinking about what might be in their future in terms of the space they're using immediately south of us or where else they could be located that would be good for their business and would open that space for the library.
So the lot could be cleared in a year or two?
I don't think we have a specific timeline. There are a lot of options and a lot of moving parts, but it's good to see progress, and you know that's one of the things that one of the reasons we engaged Farnsworth do our prep for that process.
Among the moving parts is, of course, money. Is there any thought that the Bloomington Public Library should do private fundraising to go with city funds for this?
Well, we haven't had that specific conversation, but I think the good news for libraries is that they frequently do engender a pretty fair amount of private fundraising support. And certainly, I think if you're approaching a city council about a significant building project, it doesn't help to have done your homework and have done your community building and bring with it some kind of a significant private philanthropy commitment.
Have there been discussions then with the Bloomington Library Foundation about supporting that effort?
We haven't had formal discussions, but they're well aware of the long-term future, and the Bloomington Library Foundation has been around for several decades, and they've been the beneficiaries of several significant bequests.
Will the new director have to have qualifications to manage a potential expansion project?
I think that's a key factor in the director search, and also one that we saw would make the director position even that much more attractive. I think the right person is going to be anxious to take charge of a major building project and put her or his stamp on that project.
Does the library want to hire for the long term, or does the library want to hire for that project and maybe a few years going forward to establish the new facility, and then perhaps that person would look to move on? Are you looking for an entrepreneurial type of library director, or somebody who will build and then stay and foster the place?
The short answer is yes. The history is we've been around in one form or fashion for 159 years. And during that time period, we've had someone who served for 1 month. We had another person who served for 41 years. And after her 41 years, they made a plaque in her honor, and it says, "She hath done what she could." And I hope the next director does what she or he could. We're advised that typically in this day and age, a director in a situation like ours has a tenure of somewhere between 7 to 10 years.
How long will the search process take?
Well, the goal is to be thorough and to make sure we bring the right people for final selection. We think it'll be a couple of months, and we're less concerned about giving ourselves a deadline than we are about getting it done right.
Will there be a chance for community input and a public viewing of the finalists and their approaches to libraries?
Yes, and we started that with a community leaders and search committee meeting, and as I say, we did get quite a bit of input from that. We had a couple of dozen people, people who are frequent patrons, people who represented various interest groups, and we were pleased with the input we got. There will be another opportunity later in the process when we get down to finalists or semifinalists. We haven't put the final design touches on that. There are a number of options as to how you can do it, but we do want to give both the community and the candidates an opportunity to get to know each other before the final decision is made.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with interim Bloomington Public Library Director Terry Lindberg. The YMCA is also expanding. Has there been discussion with the Y about cooperating in the expansion effort, or whether there can be synergies between these two adjoining community institutions?
I think there have been discussions about redevelopment, urban infill, some kind of a public functions gathering around those spaces. There are other entities in addition to the YMCA who have looked at being involved in some kind of a development in that location. We're open to participating in all those discussions. Obviously, our first priority is to look at the library's needs and the library's future, but we wouldn't be doing it justice if we didn't take a broader look at what could be down there, and it's very likely to involve other agencies as well.
One example of such a synergy is in Washington, Illinois, at Five Points, where the library is there, and there's a huge performing arts space there, there's a fitness center there, there's a number of other community functions that happen there. Is that the sort of thing that you're pointing to, or are you looking for more tangential synergies instead of joint occupancy?
I think there could be both. You're citing some interesting things that you've discovered. I'll add one to that list. The Cedar Rapids Public Library, which has recently been rebuilt after the disastrous floods they had there, has a series of treadmills, and they have interactive screens on them. And guess what you can see while you're running? You can see almost all the content of the Cedar Rapids Library. I've seen other libraries where they have extensive kitchen and cooking facilities. So there are lots of options that we could do within our walls, but we're also looking at that idea of what a kind of a campus might entail down there. And that again, that's a discussion that involves a lot of different parties and will occur over a time period.
How will you make sure that those voices are part of the process of becoming?
I'm filling the left-hand drawer of the desk with a lot of notes and a lot of contact information so that the next director will get off to a good running start.
Will it be important for a new director to have fundraising experience?
I think that's endemic to the top job in almost any governmental or not-for-profit organization these days. The good news is in the library business, you usually have a community group that is involved in fundraising and philanthropy. And again, the Bloomington Public Library has a strong and active library foundation. But the director should certainly be familiar with those kinds of things.
Among the community entities involved in service is the Normal Public Library. And library service in Bloomington Normal is relatively porous, with very little extra trouble. A user in one place can check out materials in the other. Should there be planning coordination among both institutions on the comprehensive needs of the community, since they're both looking at new facilities or expansions?
Well, that's a good question, and I think what you know, and some might not know, is that there is daily interaction and daily collaboration, and that your card at the Normal Public Library is good at the Bloomington Public Library and vice versa. I like to look at it on a broader basis and say we have a system with two major comprehensive full-service branches, and then our outreach services give us a whole lot of virtual branches out in the community. In terms of specializing, some of that's occurred already kind of naturally. We've inherited collections, they've inherited collections, and we kind of keep tabs on that, but with the notion that future libraries won't be so much collection-based as they will be centers for collaboration and centers for activities that we can't even imagine in yesterday's library, we'll probably both find our niches pretty comfortably.
Terry Lindberg is the interim director of the Bloomington Public Library. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, I enjoyed it.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.